Since the times of the early church, Christians have held watch night services before the celebrations of certain feasts on the church calendar. According to tradition, these services were inspired by Jesus' praying all night before making very important decisions about his ministry. When the rest of the Roman world was celebrating feasts with reveling and drinking, early Christians chose instead to fast and pray the night beforehand. So, this iteration of Watch Night, the service that takes place before the 1st of January, is meant to prepare us for the Feast of the Circumcision of Jesus Christ. We don't celebrate such a feast much anymore, but we decided to keep the Watch Night service itself due to its symbolic nature as we stand here on the precipice of a new year. After attending one of these services, John Wesley, the father of Methodism, popularized these services for the broader church by declaring that there should be way more of them. After all, what was so bad about spending all night in prayer to bring in the new year? This popularization led to watch night services taking many forms, such as covenant renewals, vigils and masses, and other liturgies. But Watch Night gained a new level of significance in the mid-19th century. In 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring over 3.5 million enslaved persons free beginning January 1st, 1863, the next year. On the night before January 1st, 1863, the night that would soon be called Freedom's Eve, African Americans from across the United States gathered with bated breath to usher in their much hoped for liberation through singing, dancing, and prayer. As such, the Watch Night tradition has been carried more strongly by our black brothers and sisters in faith, as it gives a powerful witness to the ways God has acted, is acting, and will act in our lives. Watch Night continues to reveal to us the God who is our liberator, the God who is with us currently, and the God who will never leave us. With all of this in mind, would you please join me in the litany printed in your bulletins this evening? You will read the bold. God of new beginnings, God of sacred endings, we gather tonight under the shade of a darkened sky. In this in-between time and space, unsure of what the future holds, awaiting transformation, renewal, the chance to begin again. Our times are in your hands, O God. Give us hope for the journey. We have traveled through dangers seen and unseen. We have tiptoed through dark nights of the souls and wrestled against powers that should have kept us down. Our times are in your hands, O Lord. Give us courage for the journey. Encourage us to be ever mindful of your still speaking voice, to dance without fear when the morning has come, and to know that with the coming of your light, fear must release its death grip on our lives. Our times are in your hands, O God. Give us light for the journey. Today we stand in this present moment frustrated by miscarriages of justice, angered by the lack of collective concern, and so desperately awaiting the transformation your Spirit brings. Our times are in your hands, O God. Give us justice for the journey. The future stretches out before us full of mystery and full of surprise. We need you, God of new beginnings, to set the course and to guide our feet in the way of righteousness. Our times are in your hands, Triune God. Give us life. Amen. Thank you.
Would you all pray with me?
Eternal God, before whom we are creatures of the day and children of the hour, we lift our prayers to you as we stand in the shadows of the waning year. We become aware once more of the fleetingness of time and the transiency of our being. So much has happened to us during the year, so rapidly slipping away. So much of hurt and happiness, of loss and gain, of hope and fear. We did not expect the sorrow that was thrust upon us, and we were surprised by the turn of events that changed our lives. We look back. We remember how different life was only a year ago. The slow, quiet erosion of the days has gone on, and we are not quite the same persons as we were, for better or for worse. We have had a whole year to grow in love or to fall out of love, to turn our hands to constructive tasks or to turn away in idleness. We have had a whole year and now it is almost gone. No matter what we have done or have failed to do, O Lord, keep us from dwelling on it too much. If we have failed, help us put the failure behind us. If we have done well, help us be glad but not complacent. There are other hills to climb and new hopes to be realized. We know, O God, you understand our need to look back for a while, wistfully peering at our past. But start us looking forward today, God. We do not know what events are ahead, but we do know you are there, and for that we are grateful. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Tonight's scripture passage comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 to 7 and 14 to 21. Now hear the word of the Lord. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned into lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise. As we stand here at the end of 2024 and the beginning of 2025, I believe that we stand here at a fork in the road. Most of you may already know this, but a fork in the road is a commonly used metaphor in literature to denote a forced decision. A fork in the road means that you have to go left or right. You have to take one or the other. You can't take both. You may have heard this metaphor used, for example, in Robert Frost's poem titled The Road Not Taken, which Frost begins by saying this: two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Diverging paths, fork in the road, whatever you want to call it, this metaphor is an apt expression of those moments in life where we have to make a decision. A fun fact about me that you probably don't know is that I never really deal in hypotheticals. Once I make a decision, I almost never think about what life would be had I not made the decision I made. Some may call this never thinking twice, or some may call it having confidence in the decisions you do make. Either way, I feel this way about decisions because I view the decision-making process as something deeply spiritual, even divine. Don't get me wrong, when I come to these forks in the road, when I come to these decisions, they are stressful, they are emotional, and they are very hard. But they're also beautiful. And I believe we're put in these situations for a reason. In fact, I believe at forks in the road like this one, God is right there with us, in presence and in prayer, all along the way. We never truly make a decision alone, I believe. In today's scripture passage, I believe Isaiah saw the Israelites around him standing at a fork in the road too. This part of Isaiah was written near the end of the Babylonian exile. It was written after 50 years of Israel's desolation and destruction, 50 years of Israelites being forced to leave their homes, and 50 years of days where normal was unrecognizable. This hadn't become the new normal. No, instead, normal didn't exist any longer. Each and every Israelite tried to make sense of what all this could mean. So many years and so many miles had come between them and their normal lives. They were separated from any sense of normalcy. In the midst of this exile, at this fork in the road, Isaiah looked around and saw the Israelites going down what he saw as the wrong path. This path included becoming indistinguishable from the Babylonians, to worship Babylonian gods, to believe like the Babylonians, and even to act like them. For Isaiah, taking this road was a rejection of the God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. The road the Israelites were headed down included the loss of faith and the loss of their hope. People who took this path didn't believe that there was a way back to normal. They didn't think God was anywhere near all of this. To everyone but Isaiah, this was the right path to take. On a significantly less disastrous scale, I believe we too stand here with two paths in front of us. I think that many of us, like the Israelites, are wondering what our futures could look like. We're probably planning for what 2025 holds, are we not? This may look like certain New Year's resolutions that I have no doubt all of us will keep through the entire year. It may look like weariness after 2024 and an eager excitement to get out of the year. Either way, we're standing here unsure of what the future holds. The fact is, we don't know what 2025 will look like. But despite this, as I said earlier, I believe we're presented with two paths, with a fork in the road. As we enter this new year, we can only take one of them. The first path is the one Isaiah saw his fellow Israelites taking. This path tells us that we are alone in what we face in 2025. It teaches us that God's assurance that God will be with us isn't enough. On this path, we're told that we have to navigate life by ourselves. It tells us that we'll have to face whatever awaits us without anyone on our side. We'll meet life's challenges head on without anyone watching over our well-being and our prosperity. This road makes us believe that we will be in exile forever, that we'll enter exile in 2025, or that God will forget about us if God hasn't forgotten already. This road doesn't give us any hope, because what is there to hope for? If we think we're in it alone, if we think God isn't there, if we think we don't have anyone on our side, we're surely headed to disaster, are we not? There's no hope to be had on this path. The first path here breeds loneliness. It breeds doubt. It breeds hopelessness. And I think Isaiah, seeing the Israelites choose this first path, is what made him write these words we hear today. Isaiah was trying something, anything, to get the Israelites to return to God as he knew they should. He was begging them to see the ways God was acting among them. He was begging them to have hope in the vision of a new future that God would lead them into. But despite his best efforts, Isaiah kept seeing those around him take his first path of despair, a path characterized by separation from our God. He kept seeing people acting as if they were completely alone with no God on their side. So Isaiah wrote these words to testify to the reality that no one else but him could see, a reality that is better than anything the Israelites could ever see or imagine. And I think, in his words this evening, Isaiah reveals the good news of Watch Night. Watch Night reveals the second path we can take at this fork in the road of fellowship with God, the road of hope in 2025. Watch Night reminds us that when the future is foggy, when we have no idea where we're going or how we're going to get there, no matter how unsure we are in the future, we can place our doubts on the one who has gone before us. Through Isaiah tonight, we hear of a God who tells us, "I have called you by name. You are mine." We hear of a God who calls us precious in God's sight, a God who loves us, the one who is about to do a new thing in our lives. Isaiah tells us of the God who says he will be with us as we pass through the waters and the rivers, the God who will not let us be burned by the flames we walk through, the God who calls us to pull us out of the wilderness and back home. This is the God who Isaiah is trying to lead the Israelites to remember, and this is the God we come before this evening. And before we make our decision on which path to take, as I said earlier, I believe God is with us in this decision. Before we depart on any path, God asks us, "I know what has happened to you in the past, and I am going before you in your future. I am with you." Is that enough? And the good news this evening, friends, is that for our ancestors in faith, it was enough. In the biblical story, it was enough for Abraham and his family, who packed up everything they owned, to move where they could better fulfill God's promises. It was enough for Moses and the Israelites to stand up against Egyptian bondage. It was enough for the Israelites to pick up after being exiled, to return to a desolated Jerusalem, but choose to build a new temple anyways. It was enough for the Judeans to believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection of a Galilean peasant. And it was enough for those who have celebrated Watch Night many moons before us. When the question stood whether or not enslavers would recognize the proclamation, there were many questions about whether or not God would protect the humanity of enslaved people, whether God would free them from their current bondage like the Israelites thousands of years ago. There were so many reasons to lose hope. There were so many reasons to doubt the God that they once knew. There were so many reasons to leave their faith in the year prior. Many, many years before us, our brothers and sisters in faith stood at a crossroads and chose the path of faith, chose the path of justice, and chose the path of hope. They heeded Isaiah's words and said, "Yes, God, you are enough." So the good news this evening is that, yes, God was enough for our ancestors in faith, and that means God can be enough for us, too. The one thing we must do to walk the path of faith instead of loneliness is to say yes to the God Isaiah reveals to us this evening. This evening we are asked, is it enough that we have a God who makes a way in the wilderness for us? Is it enough that God goes before us to part the waters? Is it enough that God calls each of us by name? Is God being with us enough? That question is asked of each of us today as we stand before the unknowable future. So whether you find yourself in exile or whether you feel at home and are celebrating the return to Jerusalem, this question is asked of you tonight. Is it enough for 2025 that God is on our side? Is this God we meet tonight enough for you? As we come to the fork in the road of 2025, two paths diverge. The first is a path of forgetting our covenant with God, a path of starting to look like everyone else around us, a path of believing that our future only lies in our hands. But the other path, the second path that Watch Night calls us to, is a path of renewing our covenant with our faithful and our watchful God, the God who liberates and frees us. And I believe it's this God who has put us all here this evening. I believe this is the God Isaiah tells us about. I believe this God has brought you to this service to ask you, is it enough that I'm here with you? Am I enough? So, is this God enough for you this evening? If this God is enough, then we can enter 2025 knowing that God is with us every step of the way. We can know that God has gone before us and that God has been with us every step we take. If God is enough, then we can have a deeper fellowship with God throughout 2025 as we consider who God is calling us to be. If God is enough, then our mindsets of scarcity can transform into mindsets of abundance, generosity, and extravagant charity for others. If God is enough, then whatever 2025 holds will meet us as grounded, reinvigorated Christians who stand on the solid rock of God. If God is enough this evening, then we no longer take on the new year by ourselves. So tonight God asks, is it enough that I am with you? And tonight may we say, yes, God, it is. May it be so. Amen. One sign God has given us to remind us that God is indeed with us is communion. As we celebrate this sacred meal, we declare that yes, it is enough that God is with us this evening, no matter what lies ahead in 2025. On the night Jesus was handed over, he shared a meal with his loved ones. And during the meal, he took the bread, and having blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took the cup, and having blessed it, he shared it with his disciples, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." So we do. We do this in remembrance of what God has done for us in the years prior, but also anxiously awaiting the ways God will act in our future in 2025. Now, would you please rise for our final hymn this evening? Great God, we send your guiding hand. Let us sing together, friends. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And as you go forth in 2025, may you know this, that nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.